Thank you so much. Let me first of all start out by saying how much I appreciate you and Dubsy's overall contributions, and your I think you're next level for sure. But to be sure, I'm just not sure that our coaching staff has the ability to make that change, you know, make the adjustments. At half, my God, we've been talking about it all night. I'm disturbed by this very much. What are y'all's thoughts about this, man?
Well, I'm feeling you and what you're saying 1,000%. Look, I'm not going to be one of the things I don't want to be is a hypocrite and go back on my word of I don't want to put undue expectations on Butch Jones and his football team this year. It's year three. He inherited a mess. He inherited a wreck. He played a team tonight that was a 5-loss football team last year, and they're not very good. The guy that won the starting job is a walk-on quarterback, and that's what Baker Mayfield is. Now, look, he's a scrappy little player, and he ran around, and he made some plays tonight, and good for him. Tennessee should have won that game something like, because this is the level they played at as a team, just to talk about the level of effort they gave, the kids should have won that game something like 38-14. That's what that game felt like. That game felt like 38-14.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, I agree with you 110%. And I hope that they don't call him Big Game Bob for nothing. I mean, he's a good coach. He's got lots of experience at this level. And my goodness, I sure hope that Coach Jones is able to take something away from this experience. And I mean, to come up to the podium and spend 5 minutes and be done with his press conference. I mean, come on, man. Come up here and learn something from this experience and show your players. My goodness, yeah, it hurts. I'm a man, and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to take the doggone, not ridicule necessarily, but some of the questions that need to be asked, quite frankly. And I think you guys are doing a fantastic job of asking the questions. Continue to ask the questions poignantly and timely.
Yeah, and thank you. Because here's the thing I don't want to do. I don't want this to come across as something personal or any of this. But Jason Kersey, Oklahoma Sooner beat writer, says that Eric Stryker says Butch Jones approached him during post-game celebration and said, "You're a hell of a player, but have some damn class." Stryker said he thinks Jones's comments were about his post-game celebrating and not his comments earlier in the week.
Whatever.
You see, Butch has to, but this is not a whatever. Butch has to worry about coaching.
Yeah, coach
Butch
your team.
Butch is worried about everything else.
Worry about their players. Worry about your players. Coach your damn team.
Quit worrying about the cheers and the chants.
Hey, listen, BB, and you're right. You're pointing on, as you always are, most of the time. But the reality is, this is not going to snow us from our ultimate prize of winning the SEC East. And so, yeah, this sucks, man. This really hurts. There's no doubt about it. We've got to learn from this. And the coaching staff now needs to learn. I think the team learned in the Bowling Green. I think the coaching staff needs to learn through this. They got to out-coached, flat out. Unquestionably, they got out-coached. And so that's on them. And we shall see. I'm dispirited. There's no doubt about it. But I am not disheartened. And by no stretch of the imagination, this man has built, and he continues to build, a platform for success. And I'm not down on this cat. I'm telling you, man. I'm sorry. I know a lot of guys like Jeke and those guys are just down on him, but come on, let's give him let's give him some time. Let's give him a little bit of space, brother.
I agree. But but here's the thing. If he doesn't get better, he won't be here in 5 years. You can just go ahead and put that in the bank.
He won't be here in 2 years. You know,
well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, TB, be cool, man.
Thank you. Great call. And that's the thing that scares me about Butch Jones. When I watch him in game, and Russell, I told you that. You and I have been buddies a long time. And I told you when they hired him, hey, he's a great program guy. He's got great energy. He did a great job at Cincinnati recruiting. Ton of NFL players. My Eagles have, you know, the Trent Coles of the world and the Jason Kelseys of the world, and these just a lot of guys have come through that program. A lot of linemen. Offense and defensive linemen, which is a great sign, which he's doing here. But he was, but he's not a football game manager. And I don't know if you can do it here without being a football game manager, if you can consistently win games against people that matter.
And I think the caller makes a good point, too. In, you know, all of Tennessee's reasonable goals are still in front of them. They can still win the East. This is not a conference game. It's not the end of the world. But it's a major red flag. When, you know, it'd be one thing if Oklahoma came out and it was just a shootout and Tennessee left it all out on the field, but leaving points on the, yes, the field the way they did, defense breaking down at the end of the game the way it did, special teams meltdowns, and now your coach is running around trying to coach up the other team. He won't stand up there and take questions like a man from the media after the game. He's running away and hiding while his players, he sends his punter, his freaking punter, out there to answer questions after the game while he runs and hides. I mean, it's unacceptable, Tony. Where's the leadership? Where's the accountability? Who's in charge over there? Dave Hart in his white jumpsuit?
DirecTV now has a new commercial, according to DJ. Listen to us in Nashville. Hi, I'm first half Butch Jones, and I'm second half Botch Jones. Don't be second half Botch Jones. That's horrible.
Oh,
Jerry, man. Is there anything you want to add before we go back to the phones?
Yeah, you know, to me, this is three years now. I mean, if you start with the Oregon game, the Oklahoma game last year at Oklahoma, and now Oklahoma this year at home. And the thing that bothers me is you have all off season to prepare for this first major game, which could totally turn the season around. And for me, again, as we noted earlier in the week, I thought, you know, how they call this game, to me, this time going around, you know, there was no excuses because, you know, you played them last year, knew what their weaknesses are, what some of their strengths are. And to me, and then just, you know, don't turn their strengths into things that, you know, they'd end up turning the game around. And in fact, I wouldn't even say that Oklahoma team last year was a little better than this year's team. So,
Tennessee was much, you know, better than them tonight, Jerry.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought defensively, I thought they did what they needed to do. You know, I thought if Tennessee's defense could just limit the big plays, I mean, you know, if they gave up 14 or 17, and made them drive, you know, the length of the field to get everything that they got, I felt like Tennessee's defense, you know, that would be a success for them. So the fact that they were able to do that, and then just not some of these things that we are seeing continuously, on the offensive side, you know, kind of shored up, you know, in this first big game when you got all season to prepare for it. To me, it is disappointing to see.
Back to the phones, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway, Dalton Behring, Hydraulic, fifth quarter, fan reaction. Welcome in.
How you doing, Tony?
Man, I'm not really doing too well right now, to be honest with you.
Me either. Well, it's Travy Trav, man. I just got a couple of things to hit on. Everybody's complaining about Butch not going for it on the fourth and one on the goal line. I mean, but if he misses, don't get it, then everybody's raising hell because we lose the game by 3 points. And my other thing I'm going to hit on, you got the stats there, right?
Yeah.
How many tackles Colton Jumper have?
Let me dig that up, because I was just looking at the defensive numbers a second ago. Colton Jumper tonight, and you know what? I'll say this for Colton Jumper. He had his moments in tonight's game. He ended up with four tackles. Three of them solo, and one tackle for loss.
Four tackles, middle linebacker. And he had the two most costly penalties of the ball game on third down, back to back. Why in the hell ain't Kirkland in the ball game? that's all I got to say, Tony. Butch, I'll talk to you later.
Butch Jones is extremely stubborn. He did the same thing with Brett Kendrick last year, if you'll remember. He's just a stubborn guy. And that's the way it's going to be. Now, they're going to tell you you can't get people lined up, and, you know, it's...
Hey, Tony.
Come on. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jerry.
Here's my thing on that deal, too. It's like, hey, if... Why not, and especially right now, while, you know, at the cornerback spot where we're not... We can't necessarily match up man for man whenever teams start putting an extra wide receiver in there. And why, you know, if... Why not just be basic? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I just wonder, you know, why not... You almost... And I saw this a ton last year with the walk. I can't remember his name. I know he wore number 13 last year. When we would put the walk on in there at nickelback, why not just keep your base defense in there and just play vanilla and let guys go get after him? Because if your Sam linebacker is a better player than your nickelback, then that's just how you need to play that season until you can develop a better athlete to play that nickel spot. So to me, you know, if just playing a more simplistic system with, you know, and allowing
guys...
Well,
wait a second. What we're talking about here, though, is our, what we're talking about here is our middle linebacker's not getting the job done. So what are you going to do in a case like that, Jerry?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, just, you know, put Kirkland out there and just run the same doggone defense every time. I mean, you know, you've seen that with the Ravens. You know, they hardly ever even...
Oh, I'm sorry for letting that go over my head. Okay, so the application of that is you can take a freshman kid and throw him out there and let him go and let him play... And just run the same thing.
Yeah. Don't substitute. You know,
These guys have a substitute. Jerry, have you seen them? These guys are frustrated hockey coaches. On offense, and I was going to ask you about this, Jerry. We talked about it earlier. Why do they have 19 receivers shifting in and out on every single play? And Gordon Whitener brought that up to me yesterday, saying it's no wonder our receivers have been consistently inconsistent. When you're shuffling on and off the field that much, how can you possibly get into the rhythm of a game? Is that true, Jerry? Because I watched Oklahoma tonight, and they substituted very little at their receivers.
Yeah, and especially too tonight, I thought one of the areas that Tennessee might have been able to go up with, you know, the corner opposite Sanchez over there. So, you know, you never really getting a chance to put your best guy on their weakest guy and then trying to take advantage of that particular matchup. So I think you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, if it's a big year for Marquez North or Pearson are your two best guys, and hey, go with them and Josh Smith. I mean, to me, there is so much substitution. And you think about it, this whole offense, this fast break offense is supposed to be about wearing the other teams down and also getting them in situations where, from a substitution standpoint, where they can't match up to you. But, you know, you're not even allowing your team to do that when you're substituting guys in because it's taking too long. I was noticing tonight, I mean, what's the point in not huddling up when we don't even have a tempo? The tempo is the same if we just huddled up. So I don't, you know, you kind of wonder if they just, be better served just to huddle up and keep the same, guys in there, for the whole drive.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic. Fifth quarter fan reaction. As I want to remind you, portions of tonight's program presented by our friends at First Mortgage Lenders. Jim Baker and the gang there do a tremendous job. They underpromise and overdeliver. Locally owned, beautiful Cunningham Road in the Halls community, about 10 miles from the stadium. Committed to making the American dream of owning a home come true for you. First Mortgage Lenders with a 20-year track record of helping folks find the right mortgage loan product to fit their needs. Whether you're looking for a conventional or an FHA loan, or a no down payment option such as a USDA Rural Development Home Loan, First Mortgage Lenders has you covered. No games, no gimmicks. 865-925-0700. 865-925-0700. First Mortgage Lenders. And we do that so we can keep the conversation going. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, Mark in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Mark, welcome.
How you doing, man? I knew about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, Tennessee was going to lose that game. You can't dominate field position like that. Oklahoma's backed up the entire game and only has 17 points on the board. That game should have been 31-3 at that time. It'd been lights out. And it should have been a huge party in Neyland Stadium. And instead, he took a lump of coal, shoved it up as you know where, and by the end of the game, he had a diamond. Because he was so tight that he couldn't even see straight. The caller made a point that if he goes for it on the 6-inch line and doesn't get it, everybody's on for that. No, we're on the players for that, because if you don't get 6 inches from the on fourth and goal, that's the player's fault. That's not the coach's fault. You go for the touchdown there. You don't play scared. You're playing. This is a program making game. This is the game that tells everybody you're back. And you kick a field goal with the crowd going nuts. I want to bring up one thing that you're not going to like, but this is a guy that lost to Derek Dooley by a bunch. Let's remember that. I think he's a better coach than Derek Dooley. Obviously, I think he's a better program manager than Derek Dooley. But he did lose to Derek Dooley by 5 touchdowns.
I'm going to tell you something. I think his Cincinnati team that day was better than Derek Dooley's Tennessee team.
Well, they were loaded on offense.
They were very, that's exactly right.
That was the year Hunter got hurt.
They
in Florida,
were
right?
Very, they were, and they were, they, Cincinnati was very good on offense.
They won 10 games.
Yeah. They were very good. That was a bad loss for Cincinnati that year, losing to Derek Dooley.
And he got smashed by Derek Dooley. Smashed.
Well, that's true.
And I've mentioned this to you before. A guy I knew up here played for Cincinnati, not for Jones, but he was still kind of close to the program. And like a year or two ago, I asked him, what does he think of Butch Jones? He goes, the guy can recruit. The guy can really, can run a program. He said, he's going to do some things on Saturday that you're just going to scratch your head. And it's bored its way out 4 or 5 times in his career so far. Like you said, he better adapt and he better change. I hate this spread offense. There's no downfield vertical passing threat. They don't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field. I don't know if Dobbs is just ill equipped to do that, but they don't stretch the field at all. They don't to open up the run game. Every pass is kind of dink and dunk. Those kids played their hearts out tonight. The Tennessee fan base, the players, that should have been a tremendous celebration to announce that we're back, and it was just the same old, same old.
Let's just call it what it is. The coaches really, really, really blew that game tonight. And not the defensive coaches. The head coach really screwed that game up tonight. And, you know, I hate it because you're not going to get this in Columbus where you're at. The vibe here all week, and I don't know if you heard me at all, but I had so much fun on the show this week because you could just feel that a big win was coming. You know, some people say when it's going to storm and they've broken an arm, you ever heard people tell you how in their bones they can feel that it's going to storm? You ever heard people say that? And they're right.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure changes. I could feel it in the air. I've been doing this for over 22 years now, and I'm telling you, you can feel it here in the air when Tennessee is going to win a game. It's hard to describe what I'm talking about. And damn it, it was right there tonight. It was 17-0. And then, after they screwed around in the middle part of the game, Todd Kelly Jr. gets that pick. Jerry Colquitt, let me ask you, now that we've got our gentleman here in Ohio, and this is a great time to ask you this, Jerry, why don't they line up there in an I formation and get 7 yards and kick a field goal there and say, okay, guys, game time? Why don't you do that, Jerry?
makes too much sense. Tony, I think this is going to be, a situation that we're going to see all season. I mean, because especially when you get into conference play, I mean, you're going to be dealing with some of the same issues. You know, Georgia has a formidable, front seven. You know, yeah. They got a couple guys on there, you know, who can put pressure on the passer.
Yes.
Same thing with Florida. You can go back to that Florida game last year. You know, you got Fowler. You got that Fowler kid. I mean, why? You have to protect the passer, and you have to get the ball out of the passer's hands, and the runs have to hit a whole lot quicker.
Well, Fowler's gone, you know, but Florida still has a great cast. I mean, they're still very good defensively. And there's, I'm going to tell you something about their coach. That guy there is not afraid. If he was in that, and I laugh at that guy because he's goofy, but that guy tonight, if he was on the 1 foot line, he's not kicking a field goal. The guy Florida has. And to your point, up there in Ohio, our community here and our kids deserved, everybody involved deserved to win that game. And Butch Jones deserved to win that game for all the recruiting effort that he's put into this. But for whatever reason, he just couldn't get out of the way of that game tonight. I don't know what that was. It was really strange.
Tony, you made a point with Marcus Dupree earlier this week. Some of these coaches would rather run their offense than win the game. Now, I don't know if that's the case so much tonight with Butch Jones, but it kind of makes sense. He's trying to outsmart everybody. Instead of going out and put it in the players' hands, you recruit all these great players. Let them play. Let them play. He's micromanaging with all these substitutions. He's micromanaging it from the 1 yard line. He's playing fast when you got a 17-3 lead instead of taking their time, running the clock. Just like you said, stay out of the way. You recruit all these great players. Let them play. And that quarterback for Oklahoma is awful.
Awful. And he won tonight.
Terrible.
He beat us.
He would take 2 steps back to drop back and immediately flush out of the pocket. Maybe make a play, normally not. He was terrible. Like, I was shocked that Stoops didn't bring in Trevor Knight. Shocked. He stuck with the...
And he got away with it. He got away with it, which is unbelievable that they won the night. Stoops, you talk about a guy that pulled a game out of his rectum tonight. Wow.
And it was just like Florida last year with Muschamp. But that quarterback was terrible.
I can promise you... I can promise you, is that Stryker? I can promise you this, and I'm being 1,000% serious here. When you talk about tonight's game, Bob Stoops, when he sits around with his coaches, when he lets that belly of his out, when they're sitting among themselves drinking a beer tonight, he's going to say, guys, how in God's green earth did we win that game tonight? Because we had no business winning that game. You know what I mean? That game was a joke.
I mean, I think they're an 8-4.
That
Stryker's a stud. And
he's a great player.
I mean, I think they're at best a 9-win team.
P. Ryan's a great player. Mixon's a great player.
Sure.
They got a couple okay receivers. They're terrible in the offensive line. Those two tackles, that Orlando Brown, God bless him, is a terrible tackle right now at that level.
Terrible.
And they won tonight.
And I've got no problem with Stryker running his mouth to the
no.
fans. He talked a lot during the week, but he backed it up during the game. And Tennessee fans
no
were on him. I'm sure he got cursed
and
called every name in the book.
No problem.
He backed it up. He got the last laugh. He gets to have the fun. And Butch Jones needs to shut his mouth, get back to the locker room, look himself in the mirror, and ask himself what he did wrong today. Because it's a laundry list.
By the way, you guys would be proud to know I found out from a source. Our sleep coach last night put the offense to sleep at 8 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry. That was tonight. That was when our sleep coach put him asleep. Mark, thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Enjoyed it, man.
How's that sleep coach paying off, by the way?
Jerry, we have a sleep coach. He just put our team to sleep tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Tony, to this guy's point, I mean, to me, Jalen Hurd, that kid is amazing. I mean, even in this offense, sometimes we get frustrated by, you know, these horizontal runs that take a long time to hit. even when it's not blocked well, that kid will get hit and still fall for, you know, 2 to 3, 4 extra yards. So to me, man, wouldn't it be nice sometimes to just line him back up there 8 yards and just hand that thing to him downhill and just let him take over the doggone game. At some point, Butch Jones has got to see this. Cause a guy like that, especially in that situation when you're up 17-0, 17-3, he's your answer. You know, the answer isn't to keep running a fast break offense and then keep putting a striker in the board in a position, you know, to, you know, continuously, disrupt your backfield. The answer is to give that doggone thing to Jalen Hurd and let him get the game over, for you. So it'll be interesting to see, if Butch Jones learns.
865-200-5402. And the sad thing is, he has the material offensively to run the football. We've seen that. Our guys tonight, when given the chance, did a nice job in space. Our tackles, I thought, did an okay job running the ball in space. Hurd tonight touches the ball 24 times, rushing for 106 yards. He averaged 4.4 yards per carry. What would be wrong with giving Kamara 10 more carries in that game? Or Hurd 5 more and Kamara 5 more?
You can't do that, Tony. We got to throw more bubble screens.
You like that pass, Jerry?
Well, you brought up an interesting point about the types of passes. And it's just interesting, you know, this is year 3. And a lot of people, you know, you guys used to kill me because I liked Worley. I thought he was a good pro-style passer. I mean, that's typically what my preference is. But in there, you know, he got a hard time for, you know, being a quarterback that threw short a lot of times and just dinked and dunked. But to me, you know, you think about it now, the system hadn't really changed. So it's just interesting to see, you know, 3 years into this now, I think it's more the system more so than any particular player in terms of what you're going to get out of this passing game.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. Trying to pick up the pieces from tonight's overtime loss. Tennessee loses to Oklahoma 31-24. It's the first time since the Georgia game of 1980 when Tennessee's blown a lead over 16 points. Tonight they lost a 17-point lead in Neyland Stadium. Back to the phones. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey Tony, how you doing?
Hey, is this Morgan? Hey Morgan, welcome.
Let me first say every Tennessee game I get really excited for. I'm like a kid on Christmas morning every time there's Tennessee plays. It doesn't matter. Next Saturday I'm going to wake up bright and early, get excited for that Western Carolina game. You know the sound of this voice. This is exactly the voice I had after the Florida game last year. I don't really know what they were thinking on a lot of those decisions. I think I've told you before, I want to be an offensive coordinator one day. I draw up plays in my free time, all that, and I can't help watching the game thinking about what I would do. I got so frustrated by it. This is the first time my mom really watched a Tennessee game with me. She could not take it after the third quarter. I'm that intense. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't think the game's that important, ultimately. I know it's a big game. You want to win it, but the goal is to win the East. They just have to rebound and make sure and end that streak to Florida in a couple weeks.
Good question, guys. How much does this result tonight impact the Florida game? I think a win tonight would have really helped impact the Florida game. I don't know how much a loss impacts the Florida game. Jerry, you first, from a coaching perspective, how much will this impact what happens down there? And by the way, yesterday I said on the air, and I felt pretty good about this, I believe that the Florida game before today was going to be a harder win to get down there than the Oklahoma game was here. And I felt like a real prophet 10 minutes into that game tonight, because it looked like Tennessee was going to blow Oklahoma off that field. But Jerry, how about tonight's result, the way you lose the game? You do have one bye game next week to kind of get the taste out of your mouth. Does this result linger at all in your next big game?
I wouldn't say linger, but to me, going into that Florida game, to me, you know, one of the keys was you know, what type of attitude and swag, you know, they would be able to carry down there. So, you know, to not be able to finish this game, you know, a game that you had, to me, that's just one more thing in Tennessee's favor that, to me, that they can use going down there. I still think it's going to be a competitive game, but, some people say that, hey, you know, you need to lose one, you know, so if you win the next one. I think that's a bunch of crap. A game like this, man, this kind of game would make you really feel good going into that Florida game, to have that one in your bag.
Mr. Colquitt, can I ask you a question as a coach?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I know that they got away from the running game a little bit, and they were stopped chewing clock between the third and fourth quarter. That's not what bugged me. What bugged me was a lot of the passes that fell incomplete were screen passes that got broken up. And I just thought, if you're going to put the game in Josh Dobbs' hands, at least give him a play that can develop downfield, actually put the game in his hands. Don't kind of do an in-between sort of play call, you know.
Right, right. And I think at that point, too, you know, just, you know, not being able to make a run game a point of emphasis. You know, when you start hammering a big old back like Hurd enough a few times, now that nickelback has to cheat. And now that, you know, those safeties have to cheat, those linebackers have to cheat, and it just creates space. So to me, you know, having maybe not relied on that and not gone to it as many times, you know, now, you know, these teams scout Tennessee, they know the bubble screen and know the type of passes are certainly an integral part of this offense. So to me, you could just definitely see it coming.
Yeah. And then I heard earlier about somebody was complaining about cycling in 9 receivers every play. Why not just stick with a few more guys? Because I might be wrong here, but it's almost like if you're running with 2 quarterbacks, nobody's on the field long enough to get into a rhythm. And people wonder why Marquez North only gets 1 or 2 catches a game. You know, I think maybe they should shorten the rotation, get the guys that they think are the best receivers that they have, and give them maybe not a ton more reps than the other guys, but at least a few more. Like, keep North out there. Smith played a hell of a game. You know, Pig Howard should have had more touches in that game. You know, I could be mistaken because I'm 18 years old. What do I know about coaching? But that's just my opinion. What do you guys think of that?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, at some point, and thank you, Morgan, at some point, you got to shorten your rotation. But when you watch Tennessee, man, they'll run 3 receivers off the field and 3 on, and it's happening frequently. And I just don't know if that's going to work at this level. I'd love to see it work at this level, Jerry. I just don't think it's going to work at this level. Against great competition.
Yeah, with these fast break offenses, you know, especially the teams that, you know, that don't huddle, I always said, look, you know, when you have a talent advantage, you know, then it makes a difference. But I mean, you know, if it's, top SEC team against top SEC team, I'm not really sure that any team wins. Cause I mean, you're running so many plays, you know, it does affect, both teams. And, like I think Tommy made earlier, you know, if the object of you is to try and wear the other team down and trying to get them in bad positions on defense and they can't line up right, then really them substituting as much as they do, it almost hinders yourself from being able to do that. So it is kind of perplexing. I'd like to kind of know, I mean, hey, what is the goal of the substitution? And, you know, and how in their mind does it affect, you know, the ability to get those mismatches when you know, that they could be hindering them on themselves from being able to make that happen during the course of the game.
Dubsy, what is the goal of all the substitution stuff, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the goal is of a lot of things that Butch Jones is doing tonight. I mean, the way he handles the wide receiver substitutions is reminiscent of the way Jerry Green used to run substitutions in and out of there back in the day in basketball. It's just makes no sense. Nobody gets in a rhythm. Who's our go-to receiver right now? Who is it? Who's the primary guy? When you have to have a catch, when you need to make a play, who are you going to? It could be any of them. You can't even narrow it down to like, well, it's this guy or this guy. It could be any of the 8 or 9 guys that they rotate.
Tonight, receiving, to your point, Smith had 4 receptions, 56 yards. This is a really odd line for a team that had a 17-0 lead in the game. Smith had 4 catches, 56 yards, long of 20. Average 14 per reception. Josh Malone tonight, 2 catches, 19 yards with a touchdown. Pretty play, by the way. Johnson, 2 catches, 18 yards. Marquez North, 1 catch, 9 yards. Howard, 1 catch, 8 yards. Kamara, 1 catch, 5 yards. Jennings, 1 catch, 5 yards. Wolf, 1 catch, 5 yards. I mean, the guy only had 13 completions, but his 13 completions were dispersed among 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different receivers. That's kind of silly, Jerry. Is it not?
Yeah. And it's, to me, it almost spells that, hey, you know, this coordinator, he believes in the system more so than him trying to target certain players. And to me, you know, if you've got guys who have been on campus for a couple of years and they've got a ton of ability of guys who are experienced now, to me, you gotta keep feeding them and getting them more confidence. I know they got some younger kids in there, but you know, maybe 4 or 5 deep, and to me, the rest of those kids, you know, they're not going to have them on defense somewhere in that secondary. I wouldn't even mind at this point, you know, going forward in game 3 and beyond for some of those kids to redshirt, because really, I mean, you're not allowing Dobbs to get the rhythm with them, and you're also not letting these wide receivers develop their game during the course of the games and the season as well.
You think I could get in touch with somebody like in Washington to do some kind of deletion of the hard drive in my brain to get this Florida game removed? And also
that thing that they had in Men in Black, the memory eraser?
Correct.
Just forget about it?
Yes.
Butch Jones doesn't want you to forget, though, Tony. He says you need to remember this. Don't forget this feeling. As if anybody could possibly forget.
He's not taught. You're taking him way out of context.
How am I taking... How?
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome. Hey, Jerry, you're... All right, let me put him on hold. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Oh, that's our caller that's having the conversation. Yeah, hey, welcome in. Yeah, go ahead.
Or maybe they're just going to put a new port.
All right, go ahead.
Yapping away. One of the things I thought was interesting last year, especially in the second half, when you started to see the offense get a rhythm, I thought Tig Howard played a huge role in just getting this offense going. And to me, you know, 2 games into it, I mean, to the caller's point and the previous caller before, I mean, you just, with so many wide receivers rotating through there, I mean, you know, I don't think he's our best wide receiver, but the guy who just seems to get the offense going and to get folks fired up, and, you know, he makes big plays. I mean, he hardly even touches the ball. So, again, you know, we're talking about just so many wide receivers being in there. And, you know, the guy who played a pivotal role, I thought, last year, you know, he's hardly even touched the rock in 2 games through this. So, I thought that was an excellent point.
Yeah, and Howard, obviously, is coming up with coming off his suspension from last week, but it's... This game tonight just didn't have to happen, I guess is my point. Let's go back to the phones, and here's what I'm watching. You know, I'm watching this guy Matt Rule up at... I'm watching this guy Matt Rule up at Temple, and they're on the road tonight at Cincinnati, and everybody thought Cincinnati was going to truck them and in their league, and they're up 34-26. And he has a young team and a young quarterback. You know, Tennessee tonight, Oklahoma's not any good. Oklahoma will lose at least four games this year. Watch and see. Watch and see. Let's go to the phones. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, excuse me. I mean, I can get on here and rant and rave with you and Russell, Tony, and just about the silliness and the slogans and all the crap that goes along with, you know, like Team 119, Butch, and all the platitudes and all that. But, you know, I guess I've got a question for Jerry, since we so very rarely get him on the line like this. Jerry, why would you not get Jalen Hurd possibly 5 more touches, Kamara, you know, 10 more touches, and then, you know, I'm trying to figure out in the third quarter, they didn't get tight. They got cute, Tony. They got cute. He got cute and wanted to do all those bubble screens.
Yep. I agree with that.
You know, I would have given, Jalen, it would have been a steady dose of Jalen Hurd, Alvin Kamara, and then I tried John Kelly just because he hits a hole so hard. We saw it last week with him coming off the edge as fast as they were, and it's hard coming for Dobbs and the slow developing plays that we seem to run. I just feel like, you know, roll the dice and throw John Kelly out there and have him hit the edge right there. See if you can slip him out past him out in the space. I mean, that was one of the most mind-boggling, horribly called offensive games I've ever seen. All we had to do was score one touchdown, and that game would have been over.
Florida game part two. How about when it's even better than that. You mean to tell me you get that turnover, the interception, and you get the ball on the turnover from TK Jr., who really has a nose for the football, doesn't he?
Yeah, I've been saying it for a long time.
And the kid obviously can play. We get the ball on their 29-yard line and end up punting it.
I mean, it is inexcusable. You know,
From their 40. We lost 11 yards. We ran 3 plays and lost 11 yards. And that was with 14:13 to go in the game.
And I mean, I'm sorry, you cannot continue. And I'm trying real. I don't want to. I mean, he's a kid. It's not his fault. Butch is throwing him out there. You cannot continue to throw the jumper kid out there at middle linebacker when you're playing Oklahoma and you're playing Florida and you're playing Georgia and you're playing Alabama. When you're playing the best teams in the country, the rosters are littered with 4 and 5 stars and 3 stars that were misevaluated. They probably should have been a 4 or 5 star. You cannot throw a kid out there that does not have the skill set to succeed at this level. I mean, it's that simple. Yeah, I'm with Jerry. You simplify the defense. You put Darren Kirkland out there, who's a beast physically. And, you know, you get him. It's trial by fire time. But, yeah, it's going to be real disappointing if, you know, as hard as he's worked, you know, Friday through Sunday, it's going to be real. You know, I'm going to feel bad for the guy in a way that he's that stubborn and he's going to end up not being able to enjoy the fruits of all his hard labor because they'll pull somebody else in here. And he'll be somewhere else in another school with a big buyout watching, you know, Coach X win 10 or 11 games with talent. He's recruited to UT. Yeah, I mean, the guy's rebuilt the program, but, I mean, he can't get out of his way on Saturday. I mean, it's astounding.
Appreciate you, brother. Hope you have a great day. Yeah, thank you. Jerry, give me a final thought here, and I really do appreciate your time.
Yeah, you know, the caller touched on defense, and again, I think it really would be worth something looking at. I mean, you know, we're on the conversation now of shortening, you know, the roster on offense, I think you could almost do it on defense too. I mean, again, you know, if Foreman is struggling at that nickelback spot, and we've got a better player at linebacker, then, you know, just go base defense and let guys fly around. I mean, you know, to me, it's not so much, as important to try and match, you know, the offense down for down as it is to have your most competitive, 11 guys out there, especially, you know, if it means that if you are trying to substitute, you know, now you're putting inferior guys who are struggling through it. So, you know, it just reminds me, a couple years ago when we had, I think the name was coming back to me now, and we had Swafford going out there at nickelback, and, you know, you had guys like Chris Weather coming off the field. I mean, so, I think we're kind of in the same situation. It'll be definitely something, worth paying attention to, as we get into conference play to see if they just go more basic, try and substitute less.
Jerry, thank you so much, man. Appreciate your perspective.
Man, appreciate you, Tony. Glad to be here. Today was awesome. I just like to thank these ball fans up here. You know, I hadn't seen this. This is the most people we've had out for any viewing since, Bruce Pearl's, Elite Eight game against, Michigan State. What was that, about 3 seasons ago?
That was about 8 years ago.
Huh. Yeah. So, I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, you know, the ball's winning today, and, you know, proud to be a volunteer, I'm glad to be part of this group up here in Seattle.
Thank you, Jerry. And give those people my best as well. Let's go back to our busy phones, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Tony.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Michael in San Antonio. I just wanted to
make
a couple of observations and then maybe ask a couple of questions to you guys. You know, that first half of the game, let's say probably the first quarter and maybe half of the second quarter, that 17-0 lead we had, I don't think that was Butch Jones that got us that lead. It may not have been the team. I think it was Neyland Stadium that got us that lead, the crowd that got us that lead, and quite possibly Trevor Daniel, the punter. That 17-point lead was all on that. I mean, home field, we possibly had the best home field advantage in all of college football, and we squandered it.
And by the way, that Daniel kid tonight was out of his mind.
Yeah, he was booming it, man.
He's a walk-on, and he averaged. What do you think he averaged tonight, punting? Just take a stab at it.
Oh, I'd say probably, what, 50?
He averaged
50,
right,
52?
He averaged right at 50 yards a punt tonight. Wow.
Yeah, he had a 58-yarder. He had, I mean, one possibly a little bit longer. He was just, that kid deserved a scholarship in that locker room after that game tonight.
Yeah. Wow.
If I were them, I would have had him a scholarship right there after that game, right in front of the whole team. Kid deserved it.
Well put.
But, yes. And I had a question, too. Did Alvin Kamara get hurt in the first quarter, second quarter? Did he get hurt early in that ball game?
I've seen some reports on Twitter that he might have gotten dinged up a little bit, which might have contributed to him only getting 4 carries.
He had to have been, because if not, that would probably be the most illogical thing I've ever seen in my life. The kid had 140-some-odd yards rushing last week. I mean, there had to have been something to that. I knew he had to have been hurt or something. But, you know, I mean, everybody's been, you know, ragging Butch Jones and the play calling and stuff tonight. I mean, coaching, I think, has a lot to do with it, because I know, Tony, you know, you were kind of, you know, not blaming Josh Dobbs or putting all the fault on the offensive line tonight, but I kind of disagree, because I just think our offensive line's kind of soft. I mean, when Josh Dobbs didn't have time to throw tonight, even when he did have time to throw, the receivers weren't getting open. I mean, I know, you know, so you guys, and even, you know, Sean Sinclair, he's been down on Zach Azani from day one. And I'm right there with him. I mean, I think our receivers are soft. I think our offensive line's a little bit soft. They were light. Oklahoma was very light along that defensive front. And they were in the backfield all night as well. They were coming up through the middle, you know, attacking Josh Dobbs, flushing him out of the pocket. I'm not sure how we're going to be able to fix that going forward.
No, I don't know how you. There are some issues, obviously. People are saying things, you know, Michael, tonight, like, in light of this loss. You have a faction of people that are way off the bandwagon. Most are kind of like us and who say, it's only the second game of the season.
Right.
The sad thing about tonight's game, though, is you had that top 20 opponent in your stadium. You had him on the ropes. You know from being in those parts, you told me this last week, Oklahoma's not that good.
No.
That's the long and short of it. You let a four-loss football team get off the ground on you tonight when you should have put your foot on their neck and you should have snapped it. You should have beaten them 35-14 tonight, which was going to happen.
And do you really think that Oklahoma defense is going to be as good as the Florida defense we're going to be seeing in a couple of weeks?
No, absolutely not. That's why I thought the Florida game will be more difficult than the Oklahoma game. I said it yesterday, and I do believe that even after this game.
Yeah. I was getting text messages all night. I have an Oklahoma fan at work. One of my buddies in Oklahoma City messaged me on my first half of the game. They were sick. They said, oh, we suck. We can't move the ball. And I kept saying, it's a long game, fellas. It's a long game. And guess what? I was getting my phone burned up in the second half of the game. They said, we're coming back. We're coming back. So, I mean, you know, it's just as bad as the first half was for Oklahoma fans, the table totally turned in the second half for the UT fans. Yeah, I mean, or for the teams to be, I mean, you know, for the matter of fact. But, you know, it's just been a strange night. And in that second half, with those first couple of drives, you just saw that the offense was in such disarray. You could almost, it's kind of like you guys were saying with the Florida game last year. You could just feel something strange was going to happen towards the end of that game.
I didn't, actually. People were telling me on Twitter, we're losing, and I kept going, no. It never registered to me till it was over. Simply because I guess I just didn't want to believe that could happen again.
Yeah. My parents came in from Tennessee, you know, they've been here for about a week and they're watching the game downstairs. And as soon as Tennessee kicked that field goal from the 1 yard line, I turned and looked at my father and I was like, I hope that doesn't come around and bite us in the ass at the end of this game. And you know what? It was pretty much foresight, you know, that I had right there. I mean, because it did. I mean, it, you know, boy, I'm speechless right now. Still, it's been what, an hour and a half after the game? I'm still speechless.
Yeah, I can't believe what we just saw, and I can't believe we're all having this conversation. You know?
Yep. But no, I appreciate you guys letting me in and taking my call and. Keep up the good work, and, you know, I'll keep in touch. Thanks. Have a good night, fellas.
Thank you. Weird night around the conference, Russell. Aside from this game, you have Arkansas, who we have, going down to a MAC team. We've got them in a couple weeks. So, obviously, there's a lot of great work left to be done. Georgia didn't exactly look like a world beater today. Florida struggled with East Carolina. If East Carolina has our quarterback, Florida probably loses that game.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be...
Auburn struggled today and should have lost to Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
You talk about getting away with one.
Good grief. I mean, the SEC, everybody's got chinks in the armor.
Yep.
There's no dominant team or anything. But, I think Tennessee fans are going to have a hard time feeling encouraged because you know you're going to be in close games with all these teams. And I think that for a lot of Tennessee fans, the honeymoon period for Butch Jones is over now. They've been disappointed in a number of these close games. The only ones they've won are against South Carolina when Steve Spurrier just about handed it to them the first time and they didn't have
another one. South Carolina lost tonight to Kentucky, which I don't know what to make of that because Kentucky's better.
Yep. And
and the game's up there.
For Tennessee this
Kentucky,
year?
Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, well. Got to get there first.
865-200-5402. I still think this team can win the Eastern Division, obviously, 2 weeks in Gainesville. Listener watch party at Cassie's, by the way, is a huge, huge deal. But who knows? It's your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. If I sound like I'm tired or dragging, it's because I'm tired and dragging. And also, that win, Freudian slip. That loss feels like a kick in the gut, and I
feels like the punch to the crotch that BYU player gave the dude from Boise.
Look for the highlight tomorrow. It's very
good.
Get
file circulating on Twitter right now.
God bless you. I want to knock your privates off. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I've been better. I've been a whole lot better. Thank you.
Man, what did this game look like to you? Was it Philip Fulmer or was it Johnny Majors? Who was coaching this thing? Because that's what it was like to me. My 16-year-old son's never gotten to experience Tennessee football like he got to experience it tonight. This was Johnny Majors ball or Philip Fulmer ball. We're playing conservative. We're not going for the throat, not ripping their head off when we've got them down. We've got a chance to do it. And this is what it is. That's what it was like. And we can only hope that Butch Jones learns from this and goes forward and does what he needs to do for this program and take it in the right direction.
So does your, let me ask you this, in light of the result tonight, does your faith now wane in Butch Jones? Where are you on the Butch Jones train in light of what we saw tonight?
I'm not against Butch Jones. I think he's got the program where he needs to have it. He's able to recruit. We've all seen that. I mean, we haven't had this talent here since the earlier years with Fulmer and with Majors. I mean, some of the Majors teams we had were unbelievable with talent. You look at Dale Carter and Carl Pickens and some of that crew, the defensive line that we had, the offensive line that we had, and that was amazing. But we never won anything with them. The question is, will Butch Jones be able to push us over the edge and push us where we need to be in the top 10 all the time with the facilities that we have and the ability to recruit?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's fair to even ask that question right now in terms of is he the guy or not. I think it is fair to look at him, though, and go, man, he really is a goofy in-game coach, and he really does do some strange things. I mean,
the bottom line, Tony, if you look at the game tonight, his plan would have worked. You had a caller back 45 minutes an hour ago. I've been listening to you for a while. Travy Trav called him. He nailed it. You had a caller a few minutes ago that nailed it. The whole complexion of the game changed at the point at which we extended a drive that they got a touchdown on by two crazy, ridiculous, stupid penalties on third downs. They would have been punting. What happens if they punt from inside their 50? They hadn't got the ball across the 50 the entire second half. We allowed them to get across the 50 by a stupid penalty from the middle linebacker on two different occasions on third down. That's where your problem came in. His game plan would have worked. Everybody did call in, you can complain about Butch Jones all you want to, but the game plan would have worked if the players had executed what he put out there for them to do. Now, yeah, the second half, the offense was terrible. Whether that's coaching or whether that's execution, whatever, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is we lost the game. But the complexion of the game changed at the point at which the middle linebacker created two penalties on third downs, which would have gotten us out of that drive.
Hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you this. The game should have been over before that. I mean, I see what you're saying on the Colton jumper, the two plays and the two penalties. I get where you're going. But truly, that game should have been over way before that. In fact, before that...
I agree with you completely. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but I agree with you completely.
And that's the deal.
They should have put their foot in their throat and won the game at that point, but they didn't do that. But if you want to play the conservative type of ball that he's played in this game, which is the reason I brought up Philip Fulmer and Johnny Majors, if you want to bring up that type of... If you want to play that game, you know, Spurrier commented about it. He's made several comments about Fulmer when he was coaching, about how they like to win games by 3 points. They like seem like they want to win a game by 3 points. Well, whatever. A win's a win. But bottom line, if that's your game plan, and that's what you were going for, and that's what you're going to do, then the players are going to execute that. And they didn't do it.
And when you've got those... When you've got those, I just got to say this. When you've got a great running back like Hurd back there,